If you've enjoyed listening to Issues Etc. this year, please make a year-end tax-deductible donation to support this worldwide outreach. You can contribute by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible gift online at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for including Issues Etc. in your year-end giving. Call it what you want. Christmas, if it is nothing else, is for the Christian, for the congregation, for the whole church, a time of praise. You want to know what praise looks like. You take your cue from those whose job it is to praise God. You go first to the angels, and you see what they do, and you imitate their words and their ideas and their songs. You even sing their songs after them. It is a time of praise and celebration for what God has brought into the world in His Son and our salvation. It's all front-loaded there in the manger for us. And the church cannot but praise God during the Christmas season. We can't stop praising when Christmas Day is over. We have to keep praising. And sooner or later, we have to bring it to an end and praise Him for other things in other ways as well. But this is the church's essential function. When we say the church confesses Christ, we're simply saying that we praise Christ. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Thursday afternoon, the second day of Christmas. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to spend the first hour studying the Christmas hymn, Let All Together Praise Our God, with Pastor Will Whedon. Then it's part two of our series with the late Dr. Lewis Brighton on the Holy Family. We'll be discussing the mystery and covenant of marriage. Pastor Will Whedon is assistant pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois, formerly served as director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands, and he's host of a daily short-form Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Will, welcome back.
Hey, thanks, Todd.
This hymn, we will find out, starts out as a children's hymn. Why is it so vitally important that the church put into the hearts and mouths of our children songs that they can grow into as they grow, rather than songs that they will inevitably grow out of?
This is one of the great lines from our dear friend Barbara Resch, right? You know, she absolutely nails this with, teach them songs that they'll grow into, not that they'll grow out of. And I remember when she first laid that kind of out for people thinking about that, she said, so how old were they when they were killed in Columbine? Ouch. How old were they when they were killed in Connecticut? Think about the horrible things that can happen to people at any single time in their life across the spectrum, right? How important is it that you give the little children something that's solid, that they can hold on to, something that they can actually take and join in singing with the angels right here and now, practicing for the eternity to which they are headed? How can you fill their little lives with the joy? Well, that's where this hymn that we're going to study today really comes from. It comes from a school teacher wanting to give his kids a song that they can sing all the way through life. A song that they start in when they're young, that they never, ever, ever give up singing. It's how these great children's hymns of Christmas actually spread. You know, they start when the kids are little, but they are so good. And so the words are so impactful and meaningful for their lives that they're not going to give up singing them just because they grow up. They continue singing the songs they learned in childhood.
What can you tell us about the author of this hymn?
Well, Nicholas Howe Harriman, he was born in 1480, so a little bit before Luther. He died in 1561, a little bit after Luther. He was the cantor and the Latin teacher at Joachimsthal. And there he had a special gift. He listened to his pastor's teaching. Johann Matthäus was a friend of Luther's. And Harriman could take what pastor said and put it into rhyme, condense it, and put it into rhyme in a way that made what he said memorable then. And this is what he did with this hymn that we sing here that assigned as the hymn of the day for the first Sunday after Christmas. So Sunday in the octave of Christmas. And he does this one's kind of late in life. It appears for the first time in the 1550s. And it was originally part of three hymns that he published for Christmas, you know, all written for the kids he taught. So this is much more like Von Himmel hoch, from heaven above to earth I come. It's first and foremost children's hymn. But like we said, since children have the habit of growing up, it's certainly a hymn that they're going to keep on singing and loving to sing no matter how old they get. And because it's for the Sunday after Christmas, you'll notice this about it too. Unlike From Heaven Above or some of the others that we've looked at that kind of invite you, the Christian, to tiptoe into the manger and look over and see, this is on the backside. This really is taking up at Luke 2:20, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen, heard, and seen as it was told unto them. So this hymn invites all Christians into that with the shepherds. It's the backside of having been at Bethlehem. Now we got to go out and praise God and glorify him for everything that he has revealed to us here in his word that we have seen and participated in.
So that would indicate probably where we're going to locate the primary biblical texts behind this hymn.
Yeah, this is a hymn of praise and thanks to God that's going to, we'll get into as we work our way through it, but certainly praise always begins with proclaiming the great things God has done. That's the biblical meaning of praise. It's not just standing in front of him and saying, you're so awesome, you're so great, you're so cool. It's to stand in front of him and say, look at what he did for us. That is what praise is all about. And that's what this hymn is all about.
Well, I tried to capture some of that in our introduction that, and I'm borrowing this entirely from you, that whether the church sees its function in the world as we use the word evangelism to make disciples of all nations by baptizing and teaching. To me, that is coterminous with confessing Christ in the world and coterminous with the praise of Christ.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
They're all the same thing.
Yeah. Literally, when you're doing evangelism, you're praising to somebody else something that you yourself enjoyed. So what this hymn is doing is like inviting all Christians to get in on the praise here. Praise and glorify and worship God for what he has revealed to us in his Son, Jesus Christ.
Let's hear the first stanza of Let All Together Praise Our God. Let all together praise our God before his glorious throne. Today he opens heaven again to give us his own Son, to give us his own Son. It's immediately evident that this is a children's hymn.
Yes.
It is. Because it is so beautifully simple.
It's so simple. You can hear it in the melody. It's very simple. The words are simple throughout the thing, but yet they're profound. Let all together praise our God before his glorious throne. We need to stop and think about that. You intimated this at the beginning, and it was ironic to me that you brought it up because I posted a string of Gerhardt goodies that run along the same line today. All on praise and thanksgiving. Listen to these words of Gerhardt. He says, what greater and nobler thing can a person do in this life than to praise God, his creator, that he, a poor person on earth, a poor, miserable sinner, can at the same time step into the chorus of the holy angels and the elect and simultaneously lift up his voice to God along with them. Praise of God is the true attribute and characteristic of a true Christian. And the Lord requires this praise and thanksgiving of us, not because he, on account of this himself, becomes more exalted or greater. He is and at all times remains perfect and blessed on his own, whether you praise him or not. But he wants us to thank and praise him so that instead we, as a result, become prepared to receive from him ever more and ever greater gifts. That nails it. And so when you stand before the throne of God, the first thing you want to realize is, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? Well, I can only be here because I'm here with this one that he gave into our flesh. Today he opens heaven again to give us his own son. And when you hear opens heaven, you immediately think of Genesis chapter 3 and the shut gate and being ushered out, and the very way that we are in this life exiles from what he made to be our true home. And this hymn, it's not suggesting that every Christmas heaven opens up again. You know, you got the again in there. The today of this hymn is the today of Christmas. This is the same hodie Christus natus est, the today of liturgical time. In other words, the liturgy is literally grabbing hold of you and bringing you and putting you right there on the day that this happened, the day that God opened heaven again by giving you his own son into the flesh. And I don't want to lose this either. That today began already 9 months before in the Annunciation, right? I mean, he's already in human flesh. But now, for the first time, everybody can see God in the flesh.
I'm intrigued by that opens heaven again. Mm-hmm. And it's ambiguous enough that it kind of, you went to Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about Sinai.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about he opened heaven atop that mountain.
Yeah.
Which appears, you know, in glory, lightning, thunder, fire, to give the covenant of the law. And now he opens it again to give the lawgiver.
The lawgiver, the lawgiver into flesh and blood. And so, you know, in the marvel and the other Christmas hymn, how silently the wondrous gift. What a contrast to Sinai and the rumblings and all that. And opens heaven. It's also where John is at, right? In Revelation 4, where he sort of steps through. I mean, there's an open door, and what's streaming out of it is heaven. And he actually gets to step through the door and see what's going on. Well, Jesus is that door through which you step.
Stanza 2. He leaves his heavenly Father's throne, is born an infant small, and in a manger poor and lone lies in a humble stall, lies in a humble stall. The Lutheran Public Radio Choir with the Christmas hymn stanza 2, let all together praise our God. What's here, Will?
Well, notice again that it's proclamation, not invitation. So, I mean, in the earlier Christmas hymns, you have this invitation to come and see this thing. Now it's like going out to proclaim this thing. Hey, God was in it. The baby was in a stall. He was in a manger stall. Can you believe that? And going out, preaching it, singing it, proclaiming it in our poetry. Leaves his heavenly Father's throne is, I think we noted this on one of the other Christmas hymns. That's a very John way of speaking, rather the way Christ speaks in John's gospel. He leaves and comes and then goes back. But we noted that his leaving is a bit of a mystery in itself. It's not that he actually heads out of heaven into this world in such a way that he leaves heaven behind. The stress in the hymn is that he's abandoning the regular use of his divine power and glory that are his by nature. But what we have here is glorying in what we will call the state of the Lord's humiliation, right? Instead of showing himself at all time to be the King of Heaven, instead he shows up the King of Heaven. He shows up as a poor, weak baby. You know, he can't even hold his head up. He has to have his diaper changed. The accent on poverty, again, his scorn for the things that we think are so big and so bad and so important. He's like, that's not the big problem. I'm here to deal with your problem. And your problem is located in the human flesh. I've come to fix that and remedy that problem in myself.
And you pointed out that, yes, in one sense, he leaves his heavenly Father's throne. But when he comes in human flesh, he brings the throne
of heaven with him
here.
Yeah. So Mary's lap is the throne of heaven, or the manger is the throne of heaven. Again, the church's poetry just loves
wherever
to play
he sits.
It. Wherever you find Jesus, you think about that. Your heart becomes the throne of heaven. when you open your mouth for the Eucharist, your mouth becomes the throne of heaven. Wow.
When we come back, we're going to hear the third stanza of Let All Together Praise Our God. Within an earth-born form, he hides his all-creating light. To service all, he humbly cloaks the splendor of his might, the splendor of his might. We're studying the Christmas hymn, Let All Together Praise Our God. Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest on this Thursday, the second day of Christmas. Stay tuned. If you've enjoyed listening to Issues Etc. this year, please make a year-end tax-deductible donation to support this worldwide outreach. You can contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible gift online at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for including Issues Etc. in your year-end giving.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry. lcms.org/deaconess.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Saving faith is a living, creative, active, and powerful thing, Martin Luther writes. How can it not be? It is created by our loving God through his living words and life-giving deeds. Living Faith Lutheran Church is located at 1171 Atlanta Highway in Cumming, Georgia. Come train in God's Word with us for the baptized life in our adult catechumenate. Find out more on the web at livingfaithlutheran.com.
The Simply Classical curriculum for special needs moves at my child's pace and gives her exactly what she needs. So writes Amber, a homeschooling mother who has joined thousands in homes and schools teaching from this uniquely Christian classical approach to special education. Teach students with autism, learning disabilities, or Down syndrome based on ability level rather than chronological age. Use promo code LPR20 today at classicalspecialneeds.com. Classicalspecialneeds.com.
Stanza 3 of the Christmas hymn, Let All Together Praise Our God. We're studying this hymn with Pastor Will Wheaton. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. What should we note there?
Well, you want to note that everything that is his as the eternal Son of God by nature is always there in him. So he hides. He hides the all-creating light. Think to the Transfiguration. What you're seeing at the Transfiguration is not something added to Jesus in that glorious moment on the mountain when his face becomes brighter than the sun and even his garments begin glittering with rays of glory. What you're actually seeing in that moment is what is his the whole time as the eternal Logos of the Father. His divine nature never does not have such glory. But such glory he chooses to disguise very much in the time of his humiliation so that he can be a servant to us. Think about how freaky it, you remember the apostles themselves fall on their faces before this, right? I mean, it's a terrifying sight. And how terrifying it would be if he always appeared as he truly is to us. Instead, he cloaks it. But he doesn't, it's really important to underline this, he does not lay this glory aside when he becomes man. So it's actually one of the Wesley is one of the greatest hymn writers ever, but I do think it was a mistake when he used the line, mild he lays his glory by. That is not true. He does not lay his glory by. Mild he lays the use of his glory by. He still does all these weird things. He walks on water when he chooses. He performed every single miracle that he did. They all proclaim who he really is. They're little glimpses of his glory. But for the most part, that all creating light is cloaked and it's hidden beneath the flesh so that he may be our servant. And when you hear servant, man, that should ring up to your mind right away. All of Isaiah 53 and well, that's the culmination of all the servant songs. But where the cloak is most hiding, the greatest glory ever is actually on the cross. The moment that looks least like glory, the man suffering and dying, this is his supreme moment and revelation of glory for us. So in the background of this entire stanza, you're really hearing a reflection on Philippians 2. It's like, how do you take Philippians 2 and distill it down for kids? Well, that's how you do it. You know, he did not think equality with God something to be grasped. He humbled himself. He took the form of a servant, being found in fashion as a man. He became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. And so God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name. He said it so beautifully, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. He came to be the servant and he serves us, masking the visible manifestation of his glory for the most part in his earthly ministry, but always having it.
It's the upper room in John's gospel. I am your master.
Mm-hmm.
He never ceases to be master.
Never.
And yet if I do this for you, the washing of the feet in particular,
yep,
the cross,
yep,
in the shadow there, you do likewise.
Yep. He shows that the one who has all power uses that power to serve. But he is always the one who has all power. He is always the one who is full of the radiance of his Father's glory.
What should we be listening for in the fourth stanza?
Well, you really want to pay attention to the word exchange in the fourth stanza. In German, Wechsel, to change. You know, he's going to swap out. It's what Ed Schrader called the sweet swap. He takes what's yours to give you what's his.
He undertakes a great exchange, puts on our human frame, and in return gives us his realm, his glory, and his name. His glory and his name. Pastor Whedon, I happen to know that you are going to take a little issue with the translation of this because the original is so much more powerful.
It's so much better. Yes. I have our dear friend, the delightful Dr. John Stevenson, to thank for drawing my attention to the original German of this stanza. I think the English translation you just heard is a pretty, pretty weak approximation. What you have in German, er wechselt mit uns wunderlich. Unser Fleisch und Blut nimmt an und gibt uns in sein Vatersreich die klare Gottheit dran. So that is, he exchanges with us wondrously. He takes on our flesh and blood, and he gives us in his Father's kingdom the luminous divinity. We easily forget how comfortable the Lutherans of the 16th and 17th century were with the talk of theosis. God became man that man might become God, as Athanasius put it. And that was something they all credited and believed, but they didn't hear it like a bunch of Mormons, you know. They heard it in the sense, we become by grace what he is by nature. The great Johann Gerhardt, he would write of this, theology takes its name from God, especially by reason of its subject or object, that it makes men divine. It makes them participants in the divine nature, in Lucas and his Locutio Logici. Said in another way, and this is a way that most people finally get it, he became a child of man so that the children of men might become the children of God. you just insert children in there and we're going, oh, is that what you mean? We're like, yes, that's what we're saying. The marvel does not cease at him becoming what we are. The marvel of Christmas extends to why he became what we are. He did it so that we could become what he is. And I don't think anyone got this better in his preaching than our dear Luther. In his great sermon for Christmas Day, 1522, he said, therefore, shall every Christian man rejoice in the birth of Christ and glory in it, as if he too were born of Mary. He who does not believe that or doubts it is no Christian. Oh, this is the great joy of which the angel speaks. This is God's comfort and his surpassing goodness, that man, when he believes, may glory in such a treasure, that Mary is his very mother, Christ his brother, and God his father. For all these things truly happened, that we might believe in them. Talk about a great exchange. Everything that's his gets to be ours.
It's so much more than we often hear in that kind of trite great exchange.
Yeah.
And I do not want to diminish the exchange as is usually, by calling it trite, that he takes our sin and gives us his righteousness. That kind of exchange.
So that were the end of it.
Yeah. Short sells what actually is happening here in the incarnation, the crucifixion, and the resurrection.
Yeah. I mean, he came literally to give us everything that's his. And when you get hold of that, then the real marvel of Christmas, it just doesn't stop at, look at what he took on. It really pushes its way all the way to, and why did he do it? Oh my goodness. You want to marvel at the grace of God? Look at why he came to do it, to give all of that to you, to make you heaven's heirs.
We're studying the Christmas hymn, Let All Together Praise Our God, with Pastor Will Whedon. He's assistant pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois, formerly served as director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He authors the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands. These books are published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. You can also browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. When we come back, stanza 5. He is the servant, I a Lord. How great a mystery, how strong the tender Christ child's love. No truer friend than he, no truer friend than he. We'll get Pastor Whedon's thoughts on that stanza next.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Listen to the best of the church's Christmas music during the entire Christmas season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. During the 12 days of Christmas, Lutheran Public Radio, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Why do the Lutheran confessions quote the ancient church fathers? Find out in Pastor Will Whedon's column, Why We Bother with the Fathers, in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Professor Adam Kuntz details his journey from the Book of Common Prayer to the Book of Concord. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll study rivers of living water, division among people, the woman caught in adultery, Jesus is the light of the world, and many believe in Jesus. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, as we continue our walk through St. John's Gospel on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org. thewordendures.org.
Sanctifying your child rearing with the Word of God. You're listening to Issues, etc.
Our school is committed to authentic Lutheranism, the entire Book of Concord, and indeed to authentic Lutheranism as it has continued to be confessed and practiced through the centuries right up into our own time.
Dr. Cameron McKenzie, chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We're committed then to biblical, confessional Christianity and Lutheranism and applying it to the world of today in as effective a way as we can.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or call 1-800-481-2155, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
That's the fifth stanza of the hymn that we're studying with Pastor Will Wheaton, the Christmas hymn, Let All Together Praise Our God. Where does this stanza take us?
Well, he is a servant. We've already hit that, all right, in the previous stanza. But, you know, just underline that again, like you just cited from John 13. I'm among you as one who serves, right? The one who is the Lord comes among us as a servant. But then you've got in this wondrous exchange, and I a Lord? And I a Lord? Are we actually saying that? Yeah, you really are. Remember what Paul said in Ephesians 2? He made us to sit with him, with Christ, in the heavenly places. That is, you already are on a throne. Past tense, right? You already are on a throne in heaven with Jesus right now. Yep, you a Lord. And so that means as you go your way through this life, you go with that awesome dignity that's been bestowed on you and to which you've been summoned. And in that way, you get to live your life, no matter what you do in life. I mean, you can have a job that the world regards as the most lowly of all. You could be cleaning bathrooms at night in some high rise, right? You know, you go forth with all that you do with the dignity of being a Lord of heaven. That the earth does not recognize, it did not recognize him, but that is who you are. And that's how St. Paul would say in Romans 8, you get to be more than conquerors through him who loved us so much as to exchange places with us that we could have that place with him.
There's a lot in there. It's royal lineage, it's heirs, the inheritance that cannot fade away, cannot be taken from you.
Yep.
Peter speaks those words to people who are being killed.
Yeah, and they're having all their property taken. Right, yeah. Right.
And he's saying, you, a royal priesthood, that there's so much rolled up in there that is comforting to us.
Yeah, I mean, and remember, John saw it. But go back to the open door of heaven again. When John sees the 24 elders sitting on the thrones all around the Lamb, right? What is that? The 12 patriarchs of the Old Covenant, the 12 apostles of the Lamb. You have the church in its wholeness pictured before there, reigning with God, reigning with the Lamb. And then he throws out, you know, how great a mystery. Well, he's just quoting 1 Timothy 3. Great is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh. So inviting us again into the wonder of what the exchange accomplishes for us, but then also this peculiar wonder, how strong the tender Christ child's love. That evokes, hey, no greater love has a man than this, then he lays down his life for his friends. You're my friends if you do what I tell you. There is no truer friend that you have, people loved by God, than Jesus. He will be faithful to you all the way. He will never break his word to you. How strong the tender Christ child's love. And that also sets up a favorite hymn that we were talking about earlier, right? This little babe so few days old. I mean, here it is again. The love of Christ is stronger than any other force in this world. You pile all of the horrible forces of wickedness and evil, put them in the one side of the scale, and on the other side of the scale, you put the love of the Christ child, and the love of the Christ child outweighs them all.
I'm thinking about that relationship between that love and the joy that comes from that love, the end of that, mm-hmm. that Britain hymn that you just referenced briefly, if thou wilt foil thy foes with joy, mm-hmm. then flit not from this heavenly boy. His love produces joy in those he loves.
And so you reign. And so you literally reign in life through his love, through his joy.
Stanza 6. He is the key and he the door to blessed paradise. The angel bars the way no more. To God our praises rise. To God our praises rise.
He is the key.
What would you say about this?
Well, we sang this not too many days ago in the church, right? You know, we had the great O Antiphon, O Clavis David, O Key of David. Lifting that whole curious passage from Isaiah, which John does in Revelation, giving it to Christ, that he's the key who opens. And when he opens, ain't no one shutting that thing. And when he shuts, nobody is able to open. He is the key, but he's also the door. Remember what he said in John 10, dealing with the sheepfold, right? You know, I'm the door. I'm the door of my sheep. He's the door to paradise. That open door John saw with the light streaming in John 4, that is all coming from the Lamb. Jesus literally is your entrance back. And the angel bars the way no more. Back again to Genesis 3. Jesus literally, you know, when he comes there, the angel has to take that sword away. It's his. This is his home. And he can, with him, you can go past the angel into the home. In him, the gift of coming home has arrived on the earth. He's key, he's door, he's way, he's life. And instead of the angel shutting you out, now in him, you actually get to join them in their rising praises and astonishment at what God just did in his son.
And just as Adam is expelled from paradise, a man, Jesus re-enters paradise, a man.
The same flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, of his blood. That's what comes back to paradise, again to paradise, as Romanus put it.
This notion that Christ is, along with door comes way, which is, we often say way in a very general sense. He's the road.
The road.
He is the true and living way. I think that's what we often miss in I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is mm-hmm. the truth and he is the life, but he is the true living way mm-hmm. to the Father. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, you know, it's something that is picked up very much in the book of Hebrews. He is literally your entrance into the Holy of Holies. To get into the genuine Holy of Holies, to get into the Father's heart, to get behind the veil, you go through his flesh, through Jesus. And he opens this way by this new and living way that is his own suffering and death and resurrection. He comes into the flesh, that in that flesh he can offer up a way for us to go home. And the only way for us to go home is going to be through him offering up that flesh and blood on the tree of the cross. But having offered it up, literally death now has a hole in it. I mean, a hole that will never, ever, ever close. And it provides our entrance then into the Father's presence, into joy and life and joining the angels again.
Is that connected to the Eucharist? then, the way in to the Holy of Holies via the curtain of his flesh.
Yeah, I mean, we try to confess it in our churches, right, with the open arch above the table, a way of saying, hey, there's nothing that bars your way now from coming into the presence of the Father. There is no angel guarding this door, because the angels actually are joining us and adoring him who comes to us here with the very body and blood that purchased our entrance.
The seventh and final stanza of Let All Together Praise Our God. Your grace and lowliness revealed, Lord Jesus, we adore, and praise to God the Father yield in spirit evermore. We praise you evermore. We will hear that stanza and the entire hymn and get Pastor Will Wheaton's final thoughts on this Christmas hymn right after the break. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
All of his promises have been fulfilled. And how have they been fulfilled for you? Through God walking into the room.
Pastor Hans Feeney speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Through Jesus coming to you with his flesh and his blood, and God bringing all of his glory into your presence, even though it's hidden from your eyes, and declaring to you, you are now mine. You are not a failure. You are not a sinner. You are not lost or condemned. You are my beloved brother, purchased through the flesh and the blood that are now feeding you. God has come into the room.
You can listen to Pastor Hans Feeney's teaching, Making the Case for the Lord's Supper, on a recording from our 2019 Making the Case Conference. For a year-end tax-deductible contribution of $300, we'll send you a conference audio recording and a recording of the hymns of the day for the Advent and Christmas seasons featuring the Lutheran Public Radio Choir. Order today at issuesetc.org.
Keeping the message straight. Getting the message out. You're listening to Issues Etc.
What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's a monthly magazine on faith and life, theology and culture that helps readers interpret the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective. Filled with expert insights, good writing, and inspiring stories, it also provides essential church information for LCMS members. What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's the flagship periodical of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and it has been for more than a century. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today.
The Substitute Organist Service, aptly abbreviated SOS, really has come to our rescue.
Pastor Jim Hollowatch of Christ Lutheran Church in Jackson, Mississippi.
With the ever-growing shortage of skilled musicians in our community, we were approaching a real crisis. But thanks to the Substitute Organist Service, help is always just minutes away. With its easy, intuitive interface, friendly customer service, and outstanding musicianship, you really couldn't ask for more.
You can find out more about the Substitute Organist Service at churchmusicsolutions.com.
The final stanza of the Christmas hymn, Let All Together Praise Our God. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Will Wheaton is our guest. If you appreciate our hymn studies, please make a year-end tax-deductible donation to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. No gift is too small. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org or by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping Issues Etc. in mind at the end of 2019. This is a doxological stanza with a little something extra in the beginning. What is it?
Yeah, I mean, the stanza swings up to doxology, but it's going to be really anchored into the humiliation of the way Christ comes to us. His grace in lowliness revealed. That is the foundation of our glorying and praising him. But notice the stanza then wraps up to where it began. Like, you know, hey, all Christians, let all together praise our God before his glorious throne, because this is all what he's done for us. And as we step back and look at it, we go, wow, your grace and lowliness revealed, dear Jesus, Lord Jesus, we adore. But it has to swing up to doxology. You know, where else is it going to go? When Jesus is your key and he has opened the door and paradise is now accessible to you, what do you have to do but come home singing? And so really the picture again is out of Isaiah 35, and a highway shall be there. It shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. I find great comfort in that passage. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up on him. You see the lion prowling along the sides of the road, waiting to pull him off. But no, he can't actually access the road itself, the way itself. And they shall, nor shall any ravenous beast come up on it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will be on their heads. They will obtain gladness and joy and sorrow and sighing. Oh, it says shall flee away, but I mean, the picture is like, we'll turn tail and run, right? You know what I mean? There's no place for the sorrow and sighing where this explosive joy has been given. And this is the joy that he quite literally packs into this hymn. You now have a home, and you have a secure way there, and you have the key to the front door, and you know you have a welcome inside, and all of this has been provided you in the Lord Jesus in his lowliness.
And he gives us access to divine joy. It's now the joy that is the Father's, the Son's, and the Holy Spirit's with one another.
Yeah, that literally the joy of heaven come down to earth so that we can share it and live it and be transfigured by it.
Let's hear the entire Christmas hymn, Let All Together Praise Our God, and then we'll get Pastor Whedon's final thoughts. final thoughts, Pastor Whedon, on Let All Together Praise Our God?
A practical and a theological. Practical, did you notice how beautifully that whole hymn did that job of proclaiming by doing this back and forth singing, where it was not always the whole congregation singing, if you will. The whole group joined in on some of the stanzas, but you also had solo voices and smaller ensemble. You hear this. This is the way that Lutheran hymns are supposed to be done, especially where they have seven or more stanzas. So, you know, just kudos for the wonderful way that the choir did that. But then theologically, this lovely children's Christmas hymn, it just unpacks the truth which the church proclaims at every single Eucharist, that it is indeed meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord. We give praise biblically when we declare and proclaim the great deeds which God has done. And let me tell you, next to the cross, there is no greater deed of God for us to proclaim than his enfleshment of the Virgin Mary, his joining a human nature into the unity of his divine person, so that by his cross and resurrection, he could give to us absolutely everything that is his, that we Lords might be. And, you know, for this miracle, then, we joined Christians of all ages and places and singing together, hey, let all together praise our God before his glorious throne.
With about 30 seconds here, next time we talk and study a Christmas hymn, it will be from east to west, from shore to shore. What's in store for us there?
That's one that Luther just literally hijacked from the monks, and it's beautiful. It was one that he grew up singing there in the monastery. It's the hymn of the early matin service throughout the time of Christmas. Beautiful.
Pastor Will Whedon is assistant pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois, formerly served as director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, author of the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands. He's host of the daily short-form Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. If you like what you hear in these hymn studies, you will love The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. You can listen at thewordendures.org, thewordendures.org. Will, thanks.
Hey, thank you so much, Todd.
In the next hour, it's part two of our series with the late Dr. Lewis Brighton on the Holy Family. We'll discuss mystery and covenant. This great exchange that is first seen by human eyes in the birth of Jesus Christ is in fact God's plan from the foundation of the world to give us his righteousness in his Son Jesus Christ's sacrifice for us at the cross, to give to his Son, now in human flesh, all of our sin and the punishment for that sin. This is how God has always purposed to save the world through this great exchange in Jesus Christ. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay with us.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The Holy Trinity addresses three important things for the reader.
Dr. Carl Beckwith talking about his book in the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, The Holy Trinity.
It explains the difficulties we face in confessing the Trinity in our world today. It shows how Scripture carefully and decisively presents the Trinity, and it rehearses the sound pattern of words used by the Church to clarify and defend the witness of Scripture.
Learn more about the Holy Trinity at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.
Repentance and forgiveness, sin and grace, law and gospel, more than cliches, real preaching for real people in need of hearing the real Christ. Christ for You and the Divine Service at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, where we gather every Saturday night at 6 and on the Lord's Day, Sunday mornings at 7:45 and 10. Look for the Church of the Neon Cross on I-55 between exits 30 and 33. Find us on the web, stpaullutheranchurchhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, where there is the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for the people of God.
South Africa.
China.
Germany.
Trinidad and Tobago.
Did you know that people listen to Issues Etc. around the world? India.
Sweden.
Egypt. France.
Turkey.
Japan.
Australia.
Canada.
United Kingdom.
Hong Kong.
Austria.
Finland.
Malaysia.
Singapore.
Bulgaria.
Korea.
Brazil.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Help us proclaim Christ to the world.
The Philippines.
Mexico.
Spain.
New Zealand.
Kuwait.
Do you long for a church that celebrates the divine service with reverence and joy, but without the unbiblical baggage imposed by a supposedly infallible hierarchy? Do you long for a church that confesses a divinely instituted office of the holy ministry for the giving of the Lord's gifts to His people, and yet values and lifts high the priesthood of all believers? Welcome to the Lutheran Church. We're what you've been looking for. Find an historic, authentic church near you on the Find a Church page at issuesetc.org.
Why do the Lutheran confessions quote the ancient church fathers? Find out in Pastor Will Whedon's column, Why We Bother with the Fathers, in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Professor Adam Kuntz details his journey from the Book of Common Prayer to the Book of Concord. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.